Thank you, gentlemen. Good. Well, if you were like me, you had a kind of a tiring week with shoveling snow and snow blowing and all that. But I know when God speaks to me. And when he speaks, I listen. How about you? So he did speak to me in prayer this week. And this morning's scripture comes from 1 Peter 5, just one verse. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Can you say amen? That's God's commitment. And last week I talked about a God who keeps covenant. That's God's covenant. He's going to do the work. In the middle of all the stuff we go through, all the disappointment, all the hardship, all the testing, it says he himself will do it. What I saw during prayer and what I heard during prayer was this. I love it when God gives me a specific word, and I often don't even understand the full meaning of what he's saying until I have to go and get the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And so what I heard was the word hone, H-O-N-E. And I saw a vision of a stone, more like a pumice stone than a grinding hone stone. Say that 10 times real quick. And the word hone means to sharpen, to smooth, to enlarge in the sense of making an opening, grinding an opening in something, to refine, to perfect. And also, I also found this meaning, to give greater strength and firmness to the body. Now, of course, that's talking in a workout sense. But if you look at it in the sense of the Holy Spirit orchestrating God's purpose and plan for you and your ministry and your calling in life, and we all have a ministry and calling, that's pretty awesome. He's firming things up. And so everything has a reason. And you don't have to understand the reason. You know, many times I've heard people rebuking the devil. I said, don't rebuke the devil. Don't give him the time of day. Glorify God for what he's going to do through what you're going through. Because that's the whole point. It's a refining process. It's a perfecting process. It's an enlarging process. Enlarging our capacity for him and for the things of the kingdom. And I think the reason that I saw the pumice stone, I went online and looked it up, and you may not know this, but pumice is formed when lava meets water. And there's a whole dynamic that happens. And the bubbles, the gas bubbles from all that heat and molten lava get trapped inside that pumice. And then when it cools, it becomes an abrasive agent. And the Holy Spirit is very skilled at using his kind of pumice in your life and in my life. He knows just when to do it, how much pressure, and so forth. And he is very skilled at it. And it's designed, the things we go through are designed to bring glory to the Father. How we respond to what he's called us to go through. This testing, these trials are designed to form in us the very image of Christ. It's not something we can just work up and say, oh, I'm going to be righteous, or I'm going to be like Christ. You can say that, but God has to do the work. He has to use that pumice to accomplish very specific things, to work things in us and work things out of us. I don't know what's more difficult, do you think, to work something in you or to work something out of you? Not a trick question. They're both hard. But have you ever said to somebody or about somebody, he rubs me the wrong way? And the Holy Spirit never rubs you the wrong way. He only rubs you the right way under the direction and the unction he's given by the Father. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Not for your good pleasure, but for his good pleasure. Both to will and to work. This perfecting process. Pay attention, because the anointing is now coming. I'm feeling the anointing on God wanting to drive something home to not just to you, but to me as well. This work of God, it is the work of God. These things that we face, it's the work of God, not the work of the devil. It's God at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure, the scripture says. So I call this message something like this: his perfect work, or his perfecting work. Or, he does all things well. You take your choice. So this process of perfecting, there's at least five things here in this one verse, because we're all called. If you remember the scripture, the God who calls you also gives you the grace to what he's called you to do. It doesn't matter if he's called you to preach, to teach, to minister to children, to serve in hospitality. He gives you the grace to accomplish that which he calls you to do. And he also gives us the grace to submit to this honing process, this gentle abrasion process that the Holy Spirit is so good at. And this refining, this shaping, this perfecting. And it says in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, 16 and 17, for of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. Grace and more grace. Because yesterday's grace is not sufficient for today's struggle or for tomorrow's challenge. So he gives us grace upon grace to face whatever it is he's deemed appropriate for the image of Christ to be manifested that we may be a witness of his power and of his grace. Second Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, always having sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. You see, sometimes, actually all the time, we're inadequate to do what God wants us to do. That's why we need him so desperately, because we can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it without his grace. But he gives us that abundance, that measure of grace that takes us over the top when we want to quit, when we want to give up, when we feel like we're losing hope. Second Corinthians 12:9, and he said to me, and he says to you as well today, my grace is sufficient for you. For power, my power is perfected in your weakness. Therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. It's not so you can give yourself a pat on the shoulder and say, wow, didn't I do a good job today for you, Jesus? No, he did a good job in you and through you. And he's pleased when we obey. He's pleased when we humble ourselves and admit, hey, I need you. I'm not going to get through this without you. Ephesians 4:7. I think I missed this one, Muriel. But each one of us, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And that's why you don't have to be concerned about what anybody else is doing. God gives them the grace to do what he asks them to do. And he will also give you the grace to fulfill your calling, your mission, your purpose, your ministry as well. So we need to confess our need of his help and grace and seek to have a gentle and humble attitude, because according to James 4:6, he gives a greater grace. He's opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace in this perfecting process, in this honing work of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, he perfects, it says there in 1 Peter 5:10. He prepares, he completes you, he does the work in you. In the Old Testament, it says it this way, Deuteronomy 32:4, the rock, exclamation point. The rock, his way, his work is perfect. For all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness without injustice, righteous and upright is he. In the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, same word for perfects. Be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Submit to this. Get comfortable with it. Don't fight it. God's doing these things. God's exposing you to these beautiful people in your life. You didn't choose them. He chose them to be an abrasive agent, that the work of God in you may be done so that he is glorified. Not so that you can point fingers, not so that you can criticize them, but you can bless them. Because they're just being God's instrument. If you look at it that way, you wouldn't be so apt to grumble and complain and criticize people. Everything and every person in your life has a purpose. One of the words that captures this process that the Holy Spirit is so skilled at is precision. And I think, Rich, you can appreciate this because of where you work. Precision, or to specification, or to an exact standard, God's standard, in other words. When I researched that word hone or honing tools online, you wouldn't believe the array of instruments and tools that I found. They all look different. And God's ways are all different sometimes, but they're all designed to accomplish this process of perfection. Not that we're perfect, but we're being made into the image of Jesus. So certain tools were designed to sharpen, certain honing tools were designed to enlarge in the sense of cutting a hole to specification. Some refined, some smooth. But every one of these honing tools was designed to accomplish something very specific. And so everything that we go through, God has a specific reason. We may never understand the reason, maybe this side or even in heaven, we may not get the answer. And I think that's the problem sometimes. We always want to know why. Why did this happen? How come I had to go through this? Because God ordained it. And his ways are perfect. That's why. We don't like that answer, I don't think, most of the time. But that's the truth. His ways are perfect. So we need to submit to this refining process. And that's really this is what we've all been going through, what this church has been going through, what the body of Christ has been going through in this season, is a refining process. So that we will be honorable representatives of Jesus Christ wherever we go. People will recognize Christ in us, formed into his image for his service. Two additional references there, Romans 8:29, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy 2:19 to 21. The firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord, oh boy. Now in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood, earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself, this is talking about that process of God working things in us and out of us. Anyone who cleanses himself from these things, submits to this process, in other words, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Everything that God prepares you for is a good work, is a God work. And we need to recognize it as such. His work is perfect, And you, where you are today is the sum result of his perfecting work, his refining process. Number three, 1 Peter 5:10, he confirms. He establishes or strengthens. That's also how that word is translated in the New Testament. I researched it. Another synonym or way of saying it is to validate, to attest to the truth or validity of something. To confirm implies the removing of doubts by an authoritative statement or indisputable fact. God says so, I believe it, and that settles it. Period. And how does he confirm? He confirms by his presence, by you recognizing and being blessed by his presence, but by the fact that you are privileged to be a carrier of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Some days I wonder, how about you? Am I fit to be a carrier of his presence? He says yes, in spite of my imperfections and yours as well. So he confirms by his presence and by the leading of the Holy Spirit. When we don't know what to do or what to say or where to go or when to go or how to go, he confirms it. You know, one of the things I often do, and I actually did it this morning, it's actually a prayer. When I ask God to confirm something, you know, I want an answer. But I don't want to do what I want to do or what I think God wants me to do. I want to do what he actually wants me to do. And so oftentimes those three things can be very different. So it talks about this confirmation process, Ephesians 1, 13 to 14, the seal of the promise. After listening to the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Now, if you research this, it's saying the Holy Spirit's given as a pledge. Literally what that means is a down payment. So to the degree or to the measure of that you need the Holy Spirit on a given time or a given day, you have that pledge. But that's not going to be the same as you're going to need tomorrow or the next day, because your circumstances, your struggles, your challenges are always going to be different. And so it's a down payment. And he's going to continue to add to the down payment. Just like when you buy a home, you put a down payment. But every month, you don't own the house. You say, I own my house. No, you don't. The bank owns the house. And you keep making the payments. So God, this is like that process of perfecting. God keeps meeting you at your point of need. Every time you need him, there he is. Every time you need more grace, there it is. Every time you need power, confidence, boldness, fill in the blank, there it is. He meets you at that point. We're in trouble if he stops meeting us. He's a God of covenant. He's always going to meet you there. But he wants us to keep seeking, keep drawing near, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, as it says in Matthew 7:7. That's not up there. Second Thessalonians 2:16-17. This process is to give us eternal comfort and good hope by his grace. Verse 17. Comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. So again, it's something we never outgrow the need of. We're always going to need another down payment, another pledge of God being with us and God being for us. That's this perfecting work. He shows up. Sometimes it seems like at the last minute, but we sang about that in that song this morning. He's never late. He is never late. We get anxious. We get, you know, this is what we do. But God shows up right on time, every time. He's never late. Praise be his matchless, glorious name forever. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. Did you know that Colossians was in the Bible? See, you learned something today. Let's start over. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. That's the same word, strengthen, as confirm in 1 Peter 5, verse 10. So we need to walk and live by faith in this confirming, perfecting process. God knows what he's doing, and he does all things well. Just let him do the work. Submit to it. It's not easy, but he'll get you through. He confirms and he strengthens you and I. Number four. I looked in the Strong's, it embellished this word that's used for he strengthens. It says, to confirm in spiritual knowledge and power. And I'm at a loss when, but also it's kind of like a neon light. When a particular word is only used or translated once in the New Testament, God's saying something specific, and he's saying that here. It's only used this one time in this one verse, for he strengthens. And so when you look at it in the light of spiritual knowledge and power, it's saying he gives you what you need when you need it. He strengthens you at that time, in that circumstance. I want to finish in a timely manner today, so I'm going to give you a number of scriptures that speak to this issue of strengthening. Colossians 1:9-11. That one we have. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. And so A similar verse that we don't have on the overhead, Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. Another New Testament verse, Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hebrews 13, 9, it's good for the heart to be strengthened by grace. So we need to draw upon this strength, this power that God has in the knowledge that God has, so that we can walk our way through things and not get stuck. You feel like you get stuck sometimes? That's when we try to figure it out here. It's not going to be figured out in your carnal mind. It's only through the Holy Spirit that you're going to get wisdom and understanding and ultimately the power to walk it out. I think that's literally what it means when it says elsewhere, I don't have this verse, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, knowing that God's got to move. God's got to help. Because otherwise, it's disaster. So we need to draw upon his strength, and then we will prosper and succeed. God's going to, we're in a season where, do you know that he's the God of the unexpected? And I think what you expect is not actually what's going to happen. What God's going to ask of you, or what you expect him to do, I don't think that's going to match up with what God actually is going to do in these times. These are challenging times. These are exciting times. But these are times of learning and honing, perfecting, refining, working the character of Christ into us so that we may glorify him. So his perfecting work, or this process of perfecting your life, is lived by faith. That's why you don't try to understand it. Faith says, I'm going to do it. Faith says, yes, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not like, oh no, and speak disaster or speak failure. Well, God's not a God of failure. The last time I checked, he has a very good track record. And so he's going to make sure you succeed as long as you keep listening, and as long as you stay humble, and as long as you obey and do exactly what he asks you to do. The last thing it says there in that verse is he establishes. 1 Peter 5:10. It means to lay a foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So another rendering of that word, he establishes, is used in Ephesians 3, 16 and 17, where it talks about being rooted and grounded, the same word for established. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in his love, grounded or established, that foundation for your life must always be your love for him. You're doing it for him. Colossians 1, 22 to 23. Continue in the faith, firmly established. He has reconciled you in his fleshly body through death in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue, here it is, you see, continue, don't give up. Continue in this process of being perfected. If you continue in the faith, firmly established, there it is, and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. And lastly, from the Old Testament, speaking of the same God, he was the same God then, yesterday, today, and forever, according to Hebrews chapter 7, I think it is. Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains should slip into the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, there is a river. Hello. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. And so, it even, the scriptures sometimes just say, why is that there? But it says in the Old Testament, morning may last for a night, but hallelujah, joy will come in the morning. This thing will end. This challenge will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. You will be victorious. You will overcome by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So we need to stay connected, stay planted, stay established in Christ and his kingdom. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And if you've ever stepped in sinking sand, it's actually kind of frightening because you have no control. You're just being sucked in. And so when you're on something solid, you feel confident. But even in that, even in the sinking sand, you can be confident that God is for you and he will never show up late. I love those old cowboy movies where, you know, they're sinking, and they're into the, right up to here, and they're like, oh, I'm going, you know, this is my last moment. And then somebody shows up with a horse and a rope. Don't you love it? But God doesn't show up with a horse and a rope. He shows up himself. Yeah, he does all things well. His work is perfect. Stay the course. And I'll close with this verse from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 and 8. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, for love, his love, never fails. He does all things well, my friends. He knows what he's doing. He's for you, not against you. And so stay the course, stay connected. You are established in him, and he's not going to let you fail. To God be the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you all.